It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
One and two. Here's the pitch. He lines one into left field. The A's are going to win it. Base hit for Butler. And the Athletics salvage the finale with a 5-4 win. A rare misstep for Aroldis Chapman. And the Oklahoma Athletics get one of three here. That's a tough one for the Red Sox. 5-4 the final. And Boston hope they don't regret that one at the end of the year.
Al Keefe got what he wanted.
I kind of did. I'll be honest.
Aroldis Chapman.
I think you're going to appreciate that later on. About a month from now, you're going to be like, whew. Good thing that happened.
He blew the save.
Yep.
He hadn't given up a hit in 50 batters. What's the date? Billy's been saying it. July 23rd. That's the last time he gave up a hit. July 23rd.
Yeah, July 23rd.
50 straight batters. He hadn't given up a hit.
That's right.
And then he gives up a couple yesterday. The A's walk it off. It's a game, ironically, I feel like no one was watching these games out west, meaning most people got to get up. They got to work.
Yeah.
Most people aren't.
How about the people who tuned in yesterday and like, where are they playing? what is this?
Rinky-dink ballpark.
Wait a minute.
So maybe people got to actually watch them yesterday. And you tune in and you go, oh, crap. This is what Keith wanted. And I agreed with your take at the time.
Thank you.
Hey, mix in.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a blown save, but you were like, mix in a
run.
Mix in a few runs.
It didn't have to be a blown save.
No.
Right? I was hoping more to kind of thread the needle where it's a three-run save, he gives up a run, or even two, but they lock down the win and you kind of move on. Because I'm telling you, and maybe it's me being superstitious or something, but you start the playoffs, and let's say, you know, a big game against the Yankees in the playoffs. He's on the mound for the ninth inning, protecting a one-run lead. And then they immediately put up on the screen, hasn't allowed a run in 3 months, hasn't given up a hit in 2 months.
And hasn't given up a hit since July.
Don't jinx it. Right, yeah, the guy's an absolute machine. I'm like, no, maybe he has to give up a run. Now start a new streak. And that streak can last the final 15 games of the regular season and into the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
I mean, look, Will's calling the game, but when he's like, you hope they don't regret that one, I really didn't feel that way at all coming out of it. It's like, sooner or later, mm-hmm. Chapman is going to be human.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not he needed to mix that in before the postseason and whether or not you're superstitious like Keith, we can debate. But when you haven't...
He's on too much of a heater.
You haven't given up a hit in 50 batters.
Yeah.
A franchise record, 17 straight appearances, the third longest streak in baseball history since 1901. It's hard to get mad at the guy.
It's crazy. Oh, I'm not mad at him at all. I just think we're going to be better off.
So
as a fan base, this was the right thing.
Let's see where it goes. Yep. You know, if he starts looking a little more hittable, I think they've managed him really well this year.
His ERA ballooned up to 1.14.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I know.
It was nice under one.
It was cool.
Uh-huh. So they've managed him really well this year. You know, if I was going to give Cora credit for anything, and I've been critical of Cora in the past, the way they've handled him specifically, because remember how it started this year? They've ultimately gotten it right with Garrett Whitlock. Whitlock was coming out and trying to get 4, 5, 6 outs, and he couldn't do it.
No, he's a one-inning guy.
They started limiting him to one inning, and he's been dominant as a setup guy. And that's something we complained about in real time. It's like, stop trotting out Garrett Whitlock for 6 outs. He can't do it.
Right.
And they learned that. They had a good plan the whole year with Chapman. Now, maybe that's Breslow and baseball ops. Like, maybe that goes above Cora, right? When Cora pulls Crochet after 5 1/3 against the Mets, we all yell about baseball ops. So maybe Breslow deserves credit for this as we talk it out, but I'll give it to Cora. I think they've handled him really well this year. They rarely pitch him back-to-back.
Yeah.
3 days in a row.
I was going to say, he pitched back-to-back. Yeah, oh, yeah, right.
I think
a few times in August.
I think he did 3 days in a row earlier this year, once or maybe twice. He rarely, if ever, is asked to get more than 3 outs. One of the times he did.
Well, that's been his career. I think he's gone 4 outs like twice.
No. In his career?
I think he does something insanely low. Like the last time he did it was like
in his
5
career
years ago.
Or like okay. Wow. Okay. So
it
I didn't
might
realize
be.
That.
I remember I think we looked it up when they acquired him or maybe when we knew he was the closer. He really doesn't do it much. Yeah, there was a spot. I think you got to go all the way back to June. He pitched three straight days. One of those days he got an out.
Well, I remember they had him up to do it over the weekend, I think. They had him up late in the game. They piled on a bunch of runs. They didn't need him. But that was one of the first. I was looking that up then, too, because I'm like, when's the last time they had him go 3 days in a row? It hasn't been often.
Because he also didn't pitch this series until yesterday, and then you knew you had the day off today. And so I think he'll be fine. No, they've done a great job as far as, you know, using him the right way. Not even a blown save because it was a tie game. But so he has three losses on the season. He has 29 saves, and I think he has two blown saves.
Yeah, yesterday he was 29 for 31. Yeah, going into it.
Yeah, yeah. No, so he still is because that was right. So like he takes the loss.
No, but I agree. He's only blown the two. Yeah,
but,
correct.
I mean, pretty remarkable season, and I think you also have time where it's like this isn't the last thing he had going into the playoffs. Like he'll still have a handful of more opportunities, and then hopefully he starts a new streak.
Well, so this is what this is what I'm saying. Let's see how they go. Yeah. I assume he's going to go back to being dominant. Let's see. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't, then maybe we look at it and say whatever we say. I don't think it's going to be about his workload and how they handle.
No.
Like I think to this point they've handled him brilliantly, and it's hard to get too upset with that. Yesterday he got a few runs out of his system.
Yeah.
Or a run out of his system.
Hits.
He got a couple of hits out of his system, and hopefully he's back to dominating come the postseason. The Peyton Tolley thing, I'm now waffling on where I want him on the team.
Did you like him yesterday?
I didn't.
Which one of his two innings was your favorite?
I guess the first.
First inning?
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's my preference.
You'll take
there.
The first?
He's
got a problem with the long ball maybe a little bit.
He does. Now, his fastball is electric, but when you don't have anything else, people
plays,
are loading up on the fastball.
And you throw it right down the middle sometimes.
Yeah. So where do you want him to fit in? We can play this game with Todd Early. We can play this game with
Connelly Early.
My guy, Harrison, who we saw yesterday.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think of Harrison's Red Sox debut?
I mean,
three innings?
I'd like to pretend that I felt really good about it,
but I feel
like he was, despite three scoreless innings, I felt like he was walking a tightrope when he was out there.
A little bit.
But three scoreless is three scoreless. It was a decent enough start. Let's go through where all these guys fit in. It does feel like they have some young options to pitch for them in the postseason and going forward. I think that is a credit to baseball ops and Breslow and the pitching development. Where does Tolley fit? We were talking about him as a fourth starter before. He might be better as a high leverage guy out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I think long term definitely starter.
I'm talking about this October, probably bullpen.
Yeah. I think so. Let's see what the second start for Connelly Early looks like, because the first start for Peyton Tolley, I had him penciled in as the fourth starter and, you know, no questions asked. Then we saw him two more times and you're like, he might be better for three outs. He might be better this season to go in there, throw gas, be a character, you know, flying out of the bullpen and mowing guys down, you know, a couple of tough lefties that you're facing in like the seventh inning. And there he goes. Right. Because he's certainly not, you know, getting into Whitlock territory. So now you're trying to figure out how long does your starter go and then what guys get you to Whitlock and Chapman. I think he could be one of those guys that gets you there. Kyle Harrison, bullpen, and maybe even bulk bullpen. And maybe what happens is Connelly Early, maybe, like, I don't want to just hand him the job yet, but based on the one start we saw,
he gives you two or three more starts. He could be a fourth starter where you need it in a playoff series. Maybe.
And yeah, you might not even need it too many times, but the times that you do, and then you have all these guys, you kind of throw all these guys at that problem, right? So you're like, Connelly Early is going to be on a quick hook, but so is every pitcher in the postseason. Even the best pitchers are on, you know, there's a runner on in the third inning, let's get somebody warmed up. So that's where you say, all right, maybe you attack that game with everybody. Plus, Alex Cora, come playoff time, he's just had a hard time getting to the playoffs the last few years,
but once he's in the playoffs, he's
a little bit of a, you know, magician with the, all of a sudden you'll be sitting there and you'll be like, wait, why is Lucas Giolito warming up? You know, why is Brian Baio warming up? Like, he'll use all his guys to get through a game. So I think all the young guys might even have, say, game four of the ALDS. Maybe Early starts it, and then you kind of figure out where you want to go after that.
I think Tolley, high leverage, put him in a big spot against a lefty, like a power lefty spot. Is probably the place for him. But you're right. You could spot start him. You could spot start Early, depending on what we see. Harrison could be in that mix.
You think all three are on the playoff roster,
No.
though, I guess. You can't have all three.
I mean, so
Harrison,
first,
no.
Harrison won't. I didn't even ask you to pull this, Nick. I listened to Cora before the game yesterday. I'm like, I think Cora hates him. like already.
I think the franchise does.
No, I don't know about that.
Was anyone waiting for him to come into the game yesterday? Justin Wilson and Slayton before him. I was like, where is he?
There were more, right? Or was that it?
Weissert was before him.
Oh, yeah. Weissert is who I was thinking of. You're right. Matt's as well. He did. It took him forever to get into the game. Cora was so lukewarm. This guy's making his debut. And he went on and on about Toley, on and on about early. Yeah, we're excited about this guy, this and that. And he was so lukewarm before the game yesterday about Kyle Harrison. I'm like, I think he hates him.
He's got stuff to work on.
Then he didn't use him until they were behind for the final three innings. So, I don't know. I don't think Harrison will be on the roster. I think early, we're going to have to see where it goes his next couple of starts. But I could see that. Toley's going to be on the postseason roster. I now think the bullpen is the spot for him, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Because I don't know how many innings you want to get out of him, right? Like, he started out clearly as a starter, and that's what he's done thus far. But each start, he's thrown fewer innings, right? So you're like, is he even like a bulk guy? Like, if he had to come in, you're like, all right, you're going to pitch the third, fourth, fifth. I don't even know if he's doing that. Like, he just might be like the sixth inning when lefties are coming up. But that's still fine. That's still a weapon. That's still something that you can use. But I wonder, like, do you... Right now, big spot against, Yordan Alvarez or some left.
Yeah.
You going Toley or you going Steven Matz?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering, the pecking order and, the depth chart for Cora.
Can I warm out of it? Like, today, Matz. I know Matz gave up a big hit yesterday. He's coming into a bases-loaded spot.
Yep.
And his numbers have been really good with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. So my answer today is Matz. But let's see if Toley out of the bullpen. If they haven't pitched there down the stretch to try to get a feel for it, if he looks really good, I'd be open to Toley in that spot. But today, I'd lean Matz.
Yeah, because I wonder, because what do you carry, 10 pitchers come playoff time, give or take?
Yeah.
And you probably have four starters, and then you got like your six relievers. So I think he's on there too, but, Matz and Slayton and Wilson and the way they've used Weissert.
Yeah, honestly, Wilson might be the answer, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. If you're choosing even lower than that, yeah maybe. By the way, Yankees play today, but you get three with the Yankees this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Good news. They game on Fridays on Apple TV.
Mm-hmm. It's right here on WEEI.
That's probably the place to catch it, because that is a Apple TV-only game, television-wise. So EEI would be a good place to catch it on Friday night. Sitting here today, and the standings could change. Red Sox might be a half game up. They might be a half game behind. But sitting here today, Red Sox and Yankees tied. Number one wild card. They're both four games up on the Rangers, I believe.
It's exciting.
They're both three games back at Toronto.
Yep.
So you want to talk about a big late season series. And the Blue Jays are coming up on the schedule as well in a few series. You want to talk about a big late season series, which the Red Sox to this point have dominated between these two teams.
They own them. Yeah, I can't wait. So it's the last three games of the regular season. Fingers crossed still on a postseason series, which would be fantastic. And the Red Sox, no excuses for them. They're going Giolito, Bayo, Crochet. So they got all three of their guys on the mound starting on Friday.
I didn't hear Early in there, so that's a shame.
You don't have Early. No. I think Early might get the A's again, which could be good.
Probably a good move.
Probably a good move. I think he'd be in line because they have another series with the A's at home. But they're down to 15 games. Right? You have five three-game series left in the season. You have one with the Yankees coming up. You have one series with the Blue Jays, which very could be for the division. Now, maybe you have to sweep them, but either way, it could be up to you. And then a series with Detroit at the end, which they might not even really care or might not even need it. So we'll see what ends up being with that. Because they're probably all set, I would imagine.
Yeah, they really.
Detroit is stomping the Yankees right now.
Are they playing for anything?
No. What?
Detroit is like destroying the Yankees in the series they're playing right now, so they might be up in this.
I was like, is there a game going on right the second? Sorry, confused. I get what you're saying.
Oh, but I guess, no. I shouldn't say they have nothing to play for. They're only a half game up on the Blue Jays for the number one overall seed.
But they really haven't been playing that great. Like, the Tigers started out on fire to start the year, and maybe they're playing well against the Yankees in this series.
Jays and Tigers are both 5-5 in the last 10.
Yeah. I mean, the Red Sox aren't
Jays, Tigers, Yankees.
You just said it. The Red Sox are three back at Toronto. They wouldn't be that far back at Detroit.
No, the division's right there for
a month or so ago, we were talking about as the best team in the American League, and so this is the other piece to it. They've dominated the Yankees, Blue Jays, and Tigers. Red Sox didn't play well head to head with them, but they've come back to the pack. We've seen how they played early in the year against the Mariners. They split. They played well against Houston. So that's most of the playoff field we're talking about, even without Roman Anthony. And a lot of us were writing them off to make a run without Roman Anthony. Cora told them to envision game one of the ALCS. it sounds like it could be even longer than that, potentially. I wouldn't expect him before that. Even without Roman Anthony, the way they've played and the way they've been playing now for months, remember, they weathered a storm without Bregman. They weathered trading away Rafael Devers. So far, they've weathered playing without Roman Anthony. The AL's still there for the, like, it's still
duck boats,
right there.
Crazy. It is. Yeah, no, it's crazy because you felt like, there might be a bit of a Roman Anthony's gone, they back into the playoffs, right? Because we were looking at it, and you're like, the Rangers and the Royals and the Guardians, I don't think they're going to catch them, but what kind of firepower do they have? Like, is the life kind of sucked out of them a little bit? But they were able to weather that storm a little bit. I think, you know, the A's obviously helped because they did lose three in a row, right? You lost the last game against Cleveland and then those first two against the Snakes. Some of the Peyton Tolley excitement kind of went away, and you're like, man, they could really use Roman Anthony. We were joking yesterday about how bad the lineup was that they put out. You're like, you have Sogard, Eaton, Yoshida, Wong.
Eaton, Wong was a good combo at the bottom of the lineup
yesterday.
Great
combo. Yeah. Driving each other in. That's a nice time. But no, you were wondering, like, all right, is this going to be something that they can't overcome? Right? You mentioned all the other little adversities along the way that they were able to overcome. Even if there was sort of a losing streak associated with each one of those things, they were able to pull themselves out of it. And the Roman Anthony one, you're like, this might be too much. Because a direct correlation of them being good post-Devers was the arrival of Roman Anthony. But baseball's a weird sport that way where, like, even your best player, it's not the quarterback, it's not the best player on a basketball team. Like, you can still play and you can still overcome your best player going down.
The Braves won without Acuna, right? So, like,
yeah.
So I thought he got hurt the year they won. I'd have to fact check that. I thought that's what happened.
Maybe. Yeah, you might be right.
So, you know, maybe you can get some of that going on. And I'm not really even talking about winning a World Series, but going on a run to the point where you get Anthony back is really surviving until you can get Anthony back. The AL's there for that. And the series this weekend goes a long way. It goes a long way because you can bury the Yankees. You know, you sweep them again. And that's not my demand, but that's in play the way they played head-to-head against the Yankees.
Yep.
You bury them. You're on pace to be the number one wild card. You're closing the gap on Toronto. And at worst, you're hosting that wild card game. That's three straight games at Fenway.
Yeah,
at
it's best, awesome. What an atmosphere that's going
to
be.
At best, you don't even have to play in the wild card game round. You catch Toronto, and now you get a buy into that second round. You're that much closer to Anthony being back. So these are what's at stake down the stretch. And you have the Yankees and Blue Jays head-to-head, starting with the Yankees this weekend. A Blue Jays series coming up as well with the Tigers mixed in there. Mm-hmm. You can make a lot of hay. 617-779-7937. I saw the Twitch chat saying not everybody got to see Kyle Harrison yesterday. They don't trust my stance on Harrison. What'd you think about him? I said I felt like he was kind of walking a tightrope.
Yeah, fine. I thought Kyle Harrison was like, all right. Like, he didn't give up any runs. And you're just like, all right, he's a pitcher.
It's all right.
Yeah, no, honestly, he's the Rossi tier. He's all right. If everybody's healthy, he's certainly not making the playoff roster.
I would love to come in and say, three scoreless, he looked great. He pitched three scoreless. I didn't think he looked great. It's one outing, but I would have him currently off the playoff roster, and I guarantee you, if you ask Cora, he doesn't want him anywhere near his playoff roster.
Yeah, I'm just curious, even long-term, where he kind of slots in. You know, he was supposed to be a starter that they got in the Devers deal, and you're like, I don't even know if there's room for him.
Like, Tolley, when he comes in, you see his fastball, and you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
Same thing with Early. Like, I don't think his fastball is as good as Tolley's, but he has more of a repertoire.
Yeah.
You watch Harrison, and it's kind of like loopy, slurve,
baller?
Not junk baller, it's not the same. It's not the same. It didn't look the same to me. And so that's Early, meaning Early for Harrison. It's one start.
Or one appearance, rather,
not start. We all thought he was going to get a start in there, but Cora doesn't want to start him.
No.
But that was my read on that.
Although there still could be. Like, do you think Tolley and Early just stay in the rotation the rest of the season?
Probably.
But if you want to get Tolley some reps, like running out of the bullpen, like, do you have to do that before the playoffs start?
Short term, I think Tolley stays in the rotation. But the last week or two of the year, well, I guess we're pretty close to that.
No, that's what I'm saying. We're there. Well, I'll ask Bradford what he thinks about that because I wonder if that's the role. Give him a few opportunities because it's much different, right? Just preparing for a game, sitting in the bullpen all day long, getting up and then running in for two, three outs.
I said they can make a lot of hay and catch up to these teams, or they can bury them. Do you think they're going to bury themselves? I mean, they might not get the number one wild card spot, but they're not going to bury themselves. You think they're going to miss the playoffs? Is that what they mean by bury themselves?
The Mariners have won five straight, but even then, the Mariners are the third wild card team. So even if they pass you, it's not ideal. They have a four-game lead over the Rangers.
The Rangers?
Well, the Rangers have won four in a row.
They have. They don't have Eovaldi. And so
I don't think the Rangers catch them.
Four games in 3 weeks, that's a lot to make up.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to bury themselves in terms of missing the playoffs, if that's the implication. Maybe they fall to the second or third wild card. I could see that.
Texas schedule, also five series left. Mets, Astros, Marlins, Twins, Guardians.
Mets, Astros, Marlins, Twins, Guardians. That sounds fairly easy.
I was going to say, those final nine.
Mets have been horrible.
The final nine, they could go on a little bit of a heater. Yeah. But the Red Sox play the A's and the Rays, and so, yeah. And they've owned the Yankees.
We'll get to your thoughts on this. 617-779-7937. Rob Bradford joins us every Thursday.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At 11:30, I will ask him about Peyton Tolley, where he fits in. We saw Todd Early, is what we're calling him, make his first start. Where does he fit in on this team? Plus, I want Brad Foe's thoughts on Keith's conspiracy theory on Chapman. It's good. It's good to give up some runs.
Thank you.
Give up some hits. Get that out of your system before the postseason. Uh-huh. So we'll do that with Brad Foe coming up next.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.